Morning to the brethren on the web hookup. Hope everyone's enjoying their beautiful Sabbath morning. The last couple of months, I've tried to spend a lot of time with my mother on the phone and in person. And every time I call her, she tells each one of us, my brothers and sisters, that not too many people live past her age. I says, oh. And the last time I was up there and sat next to her on the couch, she told me that she wished she had done a better job raising us kids, and that she had wished she had been a better light to each one of us. And then maybe more of us would be in God's church today. Well, I'm not telling you this because it's my mother, but because after all she did for the Brownen and all the family throughout those years, she still feels this way, that she did not let her light shine bright. Bright enough to keep her children walking along God's path and worshiping in church. This was one of her greatest regrets. A lot of us parents can relate to this. Well, that got to me into thinking very, very, very much. How can we let our light shine and help others to feel welcome in the church and want to stay in God's church and endure until the end? So today we're going to read some scriptures and talk about how we can become better lights in a dark and a dreary world. The title of my sermon is, We Are to Let Our Light Shine in This Very Dark, Sick World. We are to let our light shine in this very dark world. Come with me to John 12, please. John 12. Now, this verse has been read by many speakers about being a light. Today, I'd like to read it from the New Living Translation. I'll speak a lot from the New Living today because it talks about the light that leads to life, meaning eternal life. John 8, verse 12, and Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Brethren, we still have to live in this world until Jesus Christ and our elder brother returns and establishes the kingdom of God on this earth. Then we will be given eternal life. We know in our Bibles the light is a common metaphor for many things. Knowledge, truth, a righteous way of life. Something that is pure, good, and holy. We've read this scripture many a time. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 3. Genesis 1, verse 3. Light was the first thing created after the heaven and earth. Genesis 1, verse 3. Then God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And since the light was recorded here as one of the first created things, and something that is so necessary for all life on this planet, light holds a very important meaning throughout the entire Bible. You see, throughout the scriptures, light is used to symbolize life itself, and especially if someone wants to live in a way that pleases God. Come with me now to Psalms 56. We'll spend some time here in Psalms. Psalms 56. We'll read what King David wrote or had someone write when he was captured by the Philistines. In verse 1 through 12, he's asking for God's help and deliverance from these enemies. And at the end of verse 12, he said he would render praises and offer a sacrifice when God delivers him home. But in verse 13, he says this, Psalms 56, verse 13, from the Living Translation once more, For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. King David knew he needed God in his life, and that God needed him to try and live a godly human life now in order to qualify for a position in his kingdom and family. Let's read what King David wrote about what it meant to him, how important It was to him a position within God's kingdom. Psalms 84. Psalms 84, verse 10 through 12. Once again, from the living. Psalms 84, verse 10 through 11. I'm sorry, 10 through 11. A single day spent in your temple is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorman of the temple of my God than live in the palaces of the wicked. I found it very interesting here, brethren, that the king of Israel would want to be a doorman, a doorkeeper, or a gatekeeper in the kingdom of God. He knew that just to be a part of God's kingdom is going to be much better than any physical life that we can imagine now. And he was king, brethren. Let's read on in verse 11. For God is our light and our protector. He gives us grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk along his paths. This translation says that God is our light and our protector. As long as we're walking in his and on the path of righteousness, and we're keeping his commandments, his Sabbath days, and all the holy days, he will help us and bless us. It's true, brethren. It's very true. We know it's so true. And yet, when something bad happens to us, or someone we love or go to church with, we cannot stop trusting in God and having faith and hope. He will take care of it for us, brethren. We all have, each one of us. Each one of us have good days and bad days. We all go through physical emotions and spiritual situations. Some of us right now are sitting here, are going through major trials right now. Brethren, we have to keep believing. We have to keep believing and being a light and example. No matter what we go through, we need to shine our light and help each other out, brethren. Especially when someone is down, we need to be a light and lift them back up, encourage them. Let's look at another example of light, faith, and living a righteous life. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, let's read verse 105 to 106. Psalms 119, verse 105. He says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. King David knew God's word. What is written here in our Bibles can be a light and help us along the path of life. And if we keep his righteous judgments, it can lead us right into eternal life and become part of the God family. So it's just not talking about physical life anymore, is it, brethren? It's talking about the spiritual light that can be in each baptized member that had God's Holy Spirit installed inside of them at baptism. Let's move on now to the New Testament. See what some scriptures there say about light. How are we to be filled with it? And how we are to be using it in our physical life right now. Come with me to Ephesians 5, please. Ephesians 5. We'll read verse 8 through 10 here. Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 10, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Children of light, brethren. Verse 9 and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is pleasing to the Lord. This verse seems to be telling us that since we have been baptized, and we just celebrated the Holy Day of Pentecost a couple of months ago, when God poured out his Holy Spirit on the church, we are now to become children of light. I look forward to that, brethren. And we're supposed to be walking, living as children of light and doing what is pleasing to God and not doing these things that are not going to please him. Come with me now to Romans 13, please. Romans 13. Romans 13, we'll read verse 11 and 12. Romans 13, verse 11 and 12, it says, and do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to wake out of the sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Isn't that so true, brethren? This is meant for us today, brethren, right now. It's time for us to wake up and live God's way of life right now. Let's read verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I don't know about you, brethren, but I found this verse very interesting. It is one of the only places in our Bible that uses the phrase armor of light. The other scriptures talk about the armor of God. This one says the armor of light. Because, brethren, we're supposed to be out in the daylight where we can see by others living a Christian life. Let's read verse 13 and 14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not partaking in parties, and becoming drunk, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. What does that last verse right there mean, brethren? What does that mean? Paul's trying to help us, brethren, trying to help us Christians to change the way we live. He's saying we do not belong to the darkness no longer. It's time for us to leave behind the works and the darkness of this world and live as if we're standing in the light and preparing to enter the world tomorrow, brethren. In the previous verses, he describes some of the nighttime activities that we must leave behind and telling us what we must do instead. When it says we need to wear Jesus on a daily basis, that means we need to try and live as Jesus would live. Years ago, brethren, there was a saying, what would Jesus do? Remember that? What would Jesus do? That saying was everywhere. There was these even rubber bracelets with the words written on it. Millions of people all the world wore those bracelets, the t-shirts, the shoes, and just wearing something with that phrase initials was supposed to remind them to become more like Jesus Christ. And yet, after the fight over the trademarks, the merchandise, and the profits, this just kind of faded away, didn't it? It's gone. It disappeared. Brethren, you cannot become like Jesus Christ or do what he would do if you don't know him. We got to get to know God, brethren. And how can we get to know him? We can study his word more and ask God and our Father to help us understand those words, brethren. Get on our knees and ask him like he's right there. Try to live a Christian life daily. Because just wearing a statement like that on our bodies, it's not going to help us when we need it the most, in our minds and in our hearts, brethren. We need to read and hear about God's way of life every day. And how can we live that way now in this present world, brethren? We all need to become lights better. We also need to know what God's lights mean and what it can do. So let's look at that and let's look at God's lights. There are many places in our Bible that talk about light and how God created and used light throughout mankind's time on the earth. We've already read in Genesis 1 verse 3 where God created light and he said it was good. Let's look at another place in our Bible where God created and used light to help human beings. Light from God was used to help to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, remember? In Exodus 12, verse 21 and 22, the pillar of fire was there day and night. They didn't leave those people, brethren. The column of fire did not leave them during the night, and it gave them light to see the way they should go. Brethren, what happens? What happens when you bring a light into a very dark room? It changes everything, don't it? Changes the atmosphere and everything around it. We can see how it allows us to see more clearly. The presence of Jesus Christ can change people's hearts and minds too, and allow them to see God's true and plan more clearly than ever before. So what about us, brethren? We're supposed to be bearers of that light. How can we do that? Come with me now to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Let's read what Jesus Christ said we're supposed to do. Mr. Bell mentioned this in a sermonette a couple of weeks ago. Matthew 5, let's begin in verse 14 and through 16. Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This means we are to be carrying His light within each one of us, brethren. Carrying His light. And we're responsible to show and tell the truth of Jesus Christ and God's plan to others. Brethren, there's three things that we should remember about becoming a light. The first one is, light allows people to see. Light allows people to see. That's pretty simple and true, isn't it? But just what does it allow people to see? When people look at us and the light we're giving off, remember, brethren, we have the light of life. We have the light of life. They can see we're obeying God. And we're living by His commandments. We're keeping His Sabbath days. And we're keeping all His commandments, aren't we? Because most of the people in this world today are living in the dark. And they have no idea how dark it really is. And what the truth really is. And most of them don't even know or care, or don't even want to know about God. They have no idea about who God is, or why His Son, Jesus Christ, had to be born as a human being and live on this planet and then die a horrible and a painful death for each one of us. They have no idea and have not been shown in their Bibles what's going to happen in this near future. But let's look at that. Come with me to a prophecy that Daniel wrote about 164 B.C., when he and the other Jews were being held as captives in Babylon. And although he could not understand what he was told to write at that time, he was writing about the end time, brethren. Come with me to Daniel 12. Come with me to Daniel 12. Let's read 1 through 4. Daniel 12, verse 1 through 4. I'll be reading this from the Living Bible again because it explains it very clearly. Daniel 12, 1 through 4. At that time, Michael, the mighty angel who stands guard over your nation, will stand up and fight for you in heaven against satanic forces. And there will be a time of trouble for the Jews greater than any previous sufferings in Jewish history. And yet, every one of your peoples whose names are written in the book will endure it. That's a pretty strong verse right there, isn't it, brethren? That's pretty strong. Because God's people, the Jews, have been through a lot. They've had their towns, countries overthrown. There was the Holocaust. And there are rockets being shot at them on a daily basis now. It also refers to the people who have been called and baptized in the church throughout the years, brethren. Let's go on and read now verse 2 and 3. And many of those whose body lay dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, and some to everlasting contempt. Verse 3. And those who are wise, the people of God, shall shine as brightly as the sun's brilliance. And those who turn many to righteousness will glitter like stars forever. This is what we've been talking about earlier, brethren. Shining brightly. Those who turn many to righteousness will glitter like stars forever. Well, I kind of look forward to that. That's a very bright and a positive statement and gives us a lot to look forward to, doesn't it? Let's read verse 4 now. But Daniel kept this prophecy a secret, seal it up, so it will not be understood until the end time, when travel and education shall be vastly increased. Well, brother, this scripture right here got my attention. God knew. God knew that travel and education would increase. And yet, he also knew that not many people would know and worship him. Isn't that interesting? This is why we need to be lights. This is why we need to be examples in the world today. Jesus Christ was a light in this world when he was here in his physical body. And after he died, he was resurrected and restored to his bright spiritual form. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to baptize members in the church. And he did that so we could have light, truth, and understanding and help each other out, brethren. Help each other out. Just like we read in Matthew 5, verse 15, we are not to hide our light under a bushel basket. We are to be shining and helping each other out when we're down or have troubles. There are some people out there that God may be calling and working with, and they have questions, and they want to know how God can let some things happen to them. We got to be able to answer that, brethren. This is why we have a work to do as a church. We are to be taking the gospel message about the kingdom of God to this world. That's how we let our light shine together and brighter by doing God's work. Let's look at number two now. Is that we become a target. We become a target. When we're letting our light shine in this darkened world, the world that is currently being ruled by Satan the devil, we become his target. That is so true too. Let's turn our Bible to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. And see what the Apostle Peter wrote about being a believer and a servant of God and God's people. 1 Peter 5, let's read verse 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. The Bible-based website says this whole book of 1 Peter is a letter from Peter to the believers who had been scattered through Asia Minor and were under intense persecution at that time. Well, we know in many places in the New Testament that Peter knew about religious persecution. He was there as Jesus Christ was taken away, tried, and crucified. Peter was beaten. He was threatened. He was punished, thrown in jail for preaching the gospel message. He knew what it took to be a Christian leader and not become bitter and give up hope, just quit. He had great faith. He had great wisdom that he wanted to share with others. Peter was trying to encourage them to be loving lights to the brethren that they served. And when Jesus Christ returns, they will receive their reward. Let's look at number three now, brethren. Number three. Even single small lights can stand out. Even single small lights can stand out. Our Bible says, God chose the foolish of the world to believe and spread the gospel message. So even the little light that we put out as individuals may still be enough to help someone become interested in learning about the Sabbath day, or about the holy days, or the coming kingdom of God. Brother, have you ever been out? I'm sure you have, up on a mountain when it's real dark outside. And we're seeing all the stars up there. Or maybe you've been on a boat in the middle of the ocean up on the deck. My wife and I have been on a lot of cruises after dinner when most of the other people go see the shows that ain't worth it seeing. Or go lose their money in a casino. We'd go out on the upper deck of that ship and sit there in the lounge chairs and just look at the stars and the clouds. We talked about how we're getting to watch the greatest show on earth, brought to us by our Creator, We also talked about how those lights in the sky were far, far away, the suns and the planets. But their light, still traveling from many, many miles away through that darkness of space to our eyes on top of that moving ship. It's very humbling, brethren, to think how small we might be in this universe, but how much God and Jesus Christ have made and done for each one of us, and how they both want us to become part of their kingdom and the family. We need to remember this and keep our eye on that prize while we're still living in this world of darkness. And even though we may be dim lights, with the power of Jesus Christ and God the Father in each one of us, we still need to shine out, brethren. We need to shine out toward others that might bring in them in toward the light. Think about that. We are still to be shining as brightly as we can and working, overcoming, and learning how to make our light even brighter while being humble servants of God. Because God chose us to serve Him and others, didn't He? Come with me to 1 Corinthians 1. This is the beginning of the letter that the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 31. I'll read these scriptures from the Common English Bible. I read a lot of different translations to make it clearer. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 31 says, "Brothers and sisters, God chose you to be His. Not many of you were wise in the world, in the way the world judges wisdom. Not many of you had great influence. And not many of you came from important families." Have you ever thought about that, brother? God chose us. God chose you. Out of all the other billions of people on this planet, He chose us to be sitting here today and be part of His work. Let's read on now, verse 27 and 28. "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. But God chose what the world thinks is not important. What the world hates and thinks is nothing. He chose these to destroy what the world thinks is important." Why were we chosen, brethren? Why us? Let's read on in verse 29 through 31. "God did this so no one can stand before Him and boast about everything. It is God who made you part of Christ Jesus, and Christ has become for us wisdom from God. He is the reason we are right with God and pure enough to be in His presence. Christ is the one who set us free from sin." Verse 31, "So as the scriptures say, whoever boasts shall boast only about the Lord." That's why God chose us, brethren. That's why God chose you. This is why He had a plan set in place and why Jesus Christ had to live and die as a human being. But at the end of His life up on that cross, it was just Him alone suffering, wasn't it? And dying for all human beings, past and present. But we're not alone, are we? We're not alone. We have the church. We have the minister. We have the teachers. We have each other to help each other. And when we put all our lights together, we can become one powerful light that can be a light and example to others that need that. We are to be guiding ourselves and others along the road to eternal life to the world tomorrow, brethren. There are many different kinds of lights, and they all have different kind of functions. But we are to be God's lights, and we are to be God's examples to others, and we are to let our light shine and help others. And we will receive our reward in the coming kingdom of God. Come with me now to end the sermon, Philippians 2. Philippians 2. We'll read verse 14 through 16. This sums it up and tells us what we need to be doing here, brethren. Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16. It says, "Do all things without complaining, disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Hold fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Brother, no matter what kind of light we are, no matter what kind of light you are, or how strong our light really is, we need to make it stronger. Hold fast what we've been taught and have that faith and hope that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he will call us good and faithful servants and welcome each one of us into his family.